Last week, we ended in verse 19 of the 7th chapter of the book of Romans. And today, I hope we're able to finish the last verses of that chapter. That's verses 20 through 25. I'm going to read through these, and then we're going to try to glean a little understanding that applies to you and I today, as it applied to the Apostle Paul at the time of his writing. He says, "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil's present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Oh, how many times I've thought and wished that I can circumvent this old flesh and continuously stay in the realm of the Spirit. But it's like the Apostle Paul in the previous verses of this chapter and the words that we just read. As long as you and I are in this carnal nature, we are born of sin, we live in sin, we die in sin. But there's an inward man in the children of God, the born again, the regenerate man that is not of sin, that dies not, but is present in all of God's children. Oh, how I wished I could get to know that inward man so much more than I do. What a happy day it would be. We look at these words, beginning in verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, "Now." He says, "Now." Or we could read it, "Because if I do that, I would not." He's saying, if I do the things that I know is wrong, that I know is not according to God's will, that is against Himself. In other words, we bring sin to the forefront. If I fail as a sinner, under the power of sin, because if I do that, I would not, or that which is contrary to God's will and His purposes. Now listen to this. It, being that which I do, is no more I. And I can relate to this because I know that in myself, I have a desire to do one thing, but I end up doing another. And this is what Paul is saying. I have a desire to do good, but I end up in evil, in sin. But, or now, or because if I do that, I would not. The things that I do, it is no more I that do it. Because, as he says in previous verses, my desire is other than this, but I fall under the central desires of the flesh and let it lead me about. How many times do we find ourselves in that situation? I have a desire to do that which is good, but so many times I fail to walk in that desire. I find that I do other. But it's really not me. It's not me, as the Apostle Paul says. It is no more I that do it, but sin. The fallen nature and depravity of man. That's what guides us and leads us by the nose. The flesh. That dwelleth in me. Because we see there's a warfare going on. There's a warfare between the desires of the flesh and the influence of the Spirit within us. We've often hear of the warfare that Paul speaks about. We hear about the armor of God that we're to put on. Well, there's a purpose for that armor of God. It's because that war that the Apostle Paul talks about, and that war is what is related here. That warfare between the flesh and the spirit of man. And what's it do? It hinders you. That warfare causes you to stumble and fall. It prevents you from doing your desire, which is to honor and worship God and do that which is good. But we're weak in the flesh. We're so weak in the flesh. But if we rely more on the Spirit that God says He provides us, we're led by the Spirit, and the Spirit defends us. We can't battle Satan and sin in this nature because that's what we are. We're of a carnal, sinful nature. And it ain't going to fight itself. But the Spirit of God that dwells in His children, if we rely more on that Spirit, it fights our battles for us, and we find victory in Jesus. That Spirit that abides with us. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And he says in verse 21, I find then a law. Now the first thing you come to mind is a written law, a given law, something that you can relate to as in this life or the Mosaic law. But this is not a law that the Apostle Paul here is referring to. This law that he's speaking of here is that strong, habitual feeling or desire that's within this old carnal flesh that leads you along. Well, I don't let it lead me, some would say. You know what I think when I hear that? Well, if you are without sin, then you be the first to correct me. Just like Jesus told the Jews when they caught the woman in adultery. You know? They want to stone her to death. And they said, for him to cast the first stone. That's what they alluded to. Well, Jesus put it back on. He said, okay. He who is without sin, cast the first stone. What happened? They all left. They all left. So that sort of tells me that I'm not without sin. So I can't judge. I can't condemn. I can't bring fault. But Paul says, I find then a law that controls his nature. That is in which are referenced to the law, this habit, this conformity that he finds himself in, or that which binds him in his thoughts and his actions. He says, that when I would do good, and that is by the logical, reasonable assumptions of a regenerate man, because an unregenerate man is not even going to consider these things. When I would do good, that is, to have the desires to do good, evil. Some corrupt feelings. Something contrary to the will of God. That which is of no good. Evil is present. Is near. Or is at hand. Or is controlled. Your thoughts. It is present. In Psalm 65, verse 3, we read, iniquities prevail against me. They are near. They are present. With me, as we go over to Galatians and read what is said, 5th chapter, 17th verse. He says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's that warfare. And these are contrary the one to the other. You can't pacify both of them. They don't walk together, nor can you honor each of those, as Christ has told us. You can't love mammon and God both. You either hate one and love the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. You see what he's talking about? That's where we stand. That's me. That's you. It's always there. In verse 22, he says, for, meaning in truth or in fact, I delight. Now, I want you to notice in verse 6, he used the word consent, which means he agrees. But here he uses the word delight, which is a stronger, intensive, descriptive word of his feelings. It's an emotion that comes from a regenerate man, not the unregenerate, in the sense he finds pleasure or rejoices in the law. He says, in truth or in fact, I delight in the law of God. That's the divine requirements of God. After the inward man, that born again or regenerate man. And he delights in that after the inward man in this sense that we see over in Psalms 19, verse 7, and we'll read through verse 11. Paul is referring to this rational, reasonable part of man himself that wills to do good in the law. And here Paul is relating to this. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. Paul says, I delight in it. Converting the soul. Now, what's that tell us? Well, if the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, where should I be but under the commandments of the Lord? That's where I should be. That's what I should be concerned about. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The beginning of the fear of the Lord is the knowledge that we gain in understanding the gospel and what Christ has done for us. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Why is that? Look at the two things that he used. What's most precious to man in this world today? Gold. Gold. But the statutes of the Lord are far greater than gold. We hear many times the reference to the streets of gold in heaven. What's that tell you? That tells you that gold is nothing worth more than for the feet of God to trod upon. That's what it is. And he says, sweeter than the honeycomb. And the honey. That's one of the sweetnesses that we find in nature. What's that satisfy? That satisfies his old carnal nature. But the statutes and the commandments of God satisfies the inward man, the soul. They're sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Notice, warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. This is what Paul's talking about over here. He says, for I delight in the law of God. After the inward man. Because he knows it's not the carnal man. It's not the flesh. But it's the inward man, and that inward man came by the mercy and the grace of God through Jesus Christ. This is what he's trying to relate to the Jews there in Rome. But it's a continuation, verse 23. But I see another law. Another law. Well, he's referring back to verse 22. He delights in the law of God. but yet, or except, I see another law. What is this law? It's a force. It's a force of the flesh forcing you and I to follow outside the Word of God. That's a law. That's an habitual force that exists within man. That warfare. It's not a law as we think of a law in per se, but it is a force of habit in this flesh that wants to steer continuously away from the law of God. Listen to what he says. But, or except I see another law or force that tends to steer me away from being obedient unto the law of God, in my members, the sensual passions of the flesh. That's what he sees. And he says, warring. Warring. Warring against the law, back in verse 22. The law of God. The law of the flesh. The habit of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. The desires of the flesh. Warring against the law of God within his members, within his body. Against the law of my mind. Well, what's that law of the mind? The law of the mind is the law of the inward man. It's the law of God that he loves. And bringing me into captivity. We allow this law of the flesh to prohibit us to do that which we know and understand is good. It leads us in captivity. It takes power over us. But you know what Paul has told us and alluded to in the previous verses? As long as we look to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, It will not hold us captive. It will not hold us captive. At times it brings us into captivity. As he says here, bringing me into captivity. But it will not continue having the controlling power over the flesh. To the law of sin, which is in my members. That law of sin makes us miserable, distressed, uncomfortable. We can't find any peace. The law of sin is detrimental to the law of the mind, to the law of the inner man, to the law of the desire to do good. We always have the desire, the child of God has the desire to do good. But we fail to do as we know, as we should. This is what the Apostle Paul has related to us. Now, I've mentioned something to you prior to the beginning of the service. Go to verse 24. He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? O wretched man that I am. Several theologians think that the Apostle Paul in this particular portion of this verse was relating back to the days of terrible rulers that performed a form of torture upon mankind. And this is the first I've heard of it. But here is what they would do. They would take a dead body that hasn't begun to decompose yet. They would stand it up in front of the person, nose to nose, chain their necks together, chain their arms together, change their body together, change their legs together, and that living person had to live to the day he died with that decomposing, smelling, mucus body attached to him. And the dying flesh, maggots, and the stench would eventually enter into the living man's body, and they were declared a wretched person. And this is what the Apostle Paul is relating himself to when it comes to his understanding of his flesh, the sin that dwells, as compared to that inward man and the hope in the law of God. He says, I am a wretched man because I know that which is good. I understand that which is good. I have a desire to do that which is good. But this sin, as this dead body is attached to me, prevents me from doing all that I desire to do to the honor and glory of God. Can you imagine having a decomposing body attached to you? You can't sit. You can't move around. You got to carry it. And no need to go any deeper in the description there. That's what Paul's saying. I'm a wretched man when I see myself in this old carnal flesh. And this sin that is controlling me, when I compare it to the glory of God, the mercy of God, the love of God that He's bestowed upon me in this inward man, through this inward man. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver? A strong word here, deliver. Indicating, is there any hope? Is there any hope for me? Is there any hope to be freed from this? This old carnal flesh, this old nature. Who shall deliver me from? That is the battle of the carnal and the spiritual. The desires and the lusts of the flesh, through the will of doing that which is good. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It causes us pain, discomfort, distress, no rest, no peace, no joy. Strips us of all the desires to want and to need and to have of the mercy and the love of God. That's what sin does. That's what this body of death does for us. That's what Christ experienced in the flesh. There's nothing new under the sun that we can acquaint anybody with. nor could we acquaint the Lord with. He's experienced it all. There's no pain that He hasn't experienced at the crucifixion. There's no agony that He hasn't experienced. Think, if all of your family just turned and left you, disdained you, didn't want to have nothing to do with you, cared less for you, mocked you, made fun of you, spit upon you, you still couldn't grasp what the Lord went through. But Paul is equating that with this old carnal nature. If we understand this as it is written, then why would we desire those things that bring this about? And it's like the Apostle Paul said, it is no longer I, but sin that dwelleth in. Because he says, I delight in the law. We all delight in the gospel. We all delight in the promises of God. We all rejoice in those things that God has promised us. But they're so short-lived because sin appears. As he said here, evil is present. Evil is with us. As long as we're in this body, we're not going to be able to escape it. For under its controlling influence, it leads us captive. But we know what the gospel tells us, that in Jesus we're freed from this captivity. And he goes on to prove here in the verse 25 that he is of the regenerate man, that he is born again. Why? Because he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is an answer to verse 24. If you think of it, look at it. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, who shall deliver me from this body of death? That's the answer. Only through the Lord. Only through the Lord can we thank God. Only through the Lord can we praise God. Only through the Lord can we approach God. Only through the Lord can we pray unto God. Because He sees us through the sacrifice of His only begotten Son. And it pleases Him to allow us to approach His throne of mercy and grace. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, with the mind, which is the seat of our rationality, our reasoning, our logical deductions, our understanding. So the Apostle Paul is saying, so then with all of this, I myself, in other words, in all of his understanding, his knowledge, all that's rational, logical, and reasonable to a conscious man, and that is a regenerate man, a born-again man, what's he say? I myself serve what? the law of God. That's the will of God. That's not just the Ten Commandments. That is the totality of the gospel, the will of God, as it is reflected and given unto us. In all aspects of life, if you're a rational, reasonable, logical person, with understanding, with a little knowledge and a little wisdom, then you're going to see what the Apostle Paul is referring to here. I myself serve the law of God. And why does he do that? Go back to verse 22. He says, I delight in the law of God. Let's see what Isaiah had to say in reference to this particular verse that we're discussing. See now here in verse 25, the Apostle Paul says, so then with the mind, I myself serve. Why does he serve? Yet they seek me daily. That is, we are to seek God daily. This is in Isaiah 58, second verse. And delight to know my ways. We should have a desire, as the Apostle Paul said back here in verse 22. I delight in the law. And in Isaiah, it says, and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness, that is, seek that which is right, and forsook not the ordinances of their God, that is to, as the Apostle Paul here, serve God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. We expect justice. They take delight in approaching God. I heard one minister say, I don't want justice. I don't want justice. I want mercy. Because if I got justice, I would be condemned to eternity in hell. That's just what he said. I want mercy. But God expects justice from us. In other words, do unto others as you expect them to do unto you. That's what that means. Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. The law of God is indwelled in the mind of the regenerate, born again person. Why? Because you can read over in Jeremiah that God says, I will write my laws upon their minds and in their hearts. So it's indwelling within us. That means we have the ability to recognize and to understand that which is good because of what God has given us to guide us in this old carnal flesh. But what did Paul say? Evil is present with me. We have that warring that he spoke about between the indwelling mind of the born-again person and the lust and the desires of the flesh of this old carnal body. And I believe that warfare will never end till the day we lay this body down. That's when it'll end. I've heard people say, I do good, I sin no more, I this, I that. He very well may, in his mind. He very well may, in comparison to me. But that warfare will never be over. until he lays that body in the grave. Then it'll be over. And it's just like Paul says, I myself, in my mind, with the mind I have, with the understanding that I have, with the desires I feel, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, that is, with the sinfulness, the weakness, and the lust of the flesh, it serves the law of sin. And we go back up here to verse 20, and it's just like he said, now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer.
My brother Leonard read toward the last there, 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then it says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who shall deliver me? I thank God through Jesus Christ. I was thinking of there ought to be a song that had a theme of that too. And there is one. There's a lot of them, but there's one in particular. If you think about it like this, who shall deliver me? And there's scriptures about the grace of God. Many times we think of grace as a thing, but you know there's something that says amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. There's no thing that saved a wretch like me. It's a who. It's like the scripture says. And if you think of that song that we sing so much, when you say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Just substitute Lord Jesus Christ that saved a wretch like me. Amazing grace is, when it comes down to it, the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Let's turn to 154 and sing back. I believe.
Or you could say the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, we sing how sweet the name of Jesus sounds. And we say amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I just don't think you can substitute anything but that being the Lord Jesus Christ. 154.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves.
Bye. couple of thoughts. That second verse was grace that taught my heart to fear. I was noticing one of the scriptures that Brother Leonard referred to, I believe it was in Psalms, where he talked about the law and the center reference for law there was doctrine. And a lot of people, you know, have a problem with doctrine in terms of the word. But doctrine is no more than teaching. It's teaching. The doctrine of Jesus Christ was his teaching. And when you apply that, which I think is good, apply that to the doctrine of the mind. The doctrine, the law of the mind, the law of the heart, the law of the flesh, the doctrine, the teachings of it. That's what it's about. The other thing in the song that I noticed here, the part that was sang, 'tis grace that brought me safe thus far. I mentioned earlier about another saving. And that safety, that comes from saving, safety, saving. The grace that brought me safe thus far. There's another reference to Jesus saving, that grace and safety is there. It's just all there if you look for it. This is the third Sunday. We'll have services here tonight, the Lord willing. And if he's willing, I believe he won't have us meet without the Holy Spirit being with us. But let's pray to that end and come back together and come for the reason that we should be here this morning, and I believe we have been, to worship and serve him. Brother Fred, would you dismiss us, please?
Our Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for the blessings of this day. We thank thee for